You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been in office for barely a month, and he's already done something that a member of his own party described as, quote-unquote, tantamount to a coup. He asked the Queen to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks, which is madness. And so today on Worldly, part of the Vox Media Podcast Network, we're going to break down why he's doing this. I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with Brexit and why it matters. I'm Zach Beauchamp, here with Jen Williams and our favorite Brexit correspondent, Jen Kirby. Hello, Jens in plural.
Hello.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, as per usual, I'm going to call you Kirby. Everybody, her name is Jen, but we got to do some differentiation here. So, Kirby, what helps us make sense of the move that Johnson just did?
Sure. So it is the end of August, and we have about 9 weeks until the Brexit deadline, which is October 31st. So the choices facing the UK right now are either pass a deal, some sort of deal by that date, or risk leaving the European Union without any deal on October 31st. And a no deal, a lot of economists believe, would be absolutely disastrous. There could be a recession in the UK as a result. In the immediate term, there could be food shortages, fuel shortages, and some of the government's own paperwork says this. So this is not some dystopian novel. This is a real possibility.
Right. We've done an episode on this before, which we'll link in the show notes. But Johnson personally is super excited about leaving the European Union. It's what he campaigned on. It's what he promised. He said, no matter what, we're getting out on October 31st. So basically, he's a Brexit at all costs guy.
Absolutely. Basically, I will take the UK out of the EU, do or die, deal or no deal, on October 31st. And he looks like he is trying at all costs to fulfill that promise.
Okay, so Boris Johnson comes in as prime minister. He's now prime minister. What's going on? What happened?
So the situation now that's led to this this current disaster is that the opponents of Brexit, who cross a number of different parties, had been concocting some plans to stop a hard Brexit, to prevent Johnson from, despite being in power, from crashing out on October 31st. And some of these people are even in his own party. People are getting concerned, and he's a very slim majority. I mean, a literal one-vote majority in Parliament. So any defections could lead to his hard Brexit or no-deal Brexit dreams being dashed. So he needs to do something to prevent Parliament from getting in his way, and he needs to, like, you know, stop those meddling kids from exposing him. So what is he going to do?
He's going to give them a lot less time to cause problems.
Okay, how can you do this?
Yeah, so what actually happened is he's a new prime minister. So, you know, a lot of times when a new prime minister takes office, they want to set their own legislative agenda. So what he did is he went to the Queen and he basically said, listen, I want to suspend Parliament so I can get my new agenda together and give this thing called the Queen's Speech, which lays out the agenda to start the new legislative parliament. And that's called proroguing or prorogation. Basically, you end one parliamentary session and then there's a break and then you start a new one. This is totally normal, but it usually lasts like a couple of weeks, a week or two, but Johnson asked for 5 weeks, which is an extraordinarily long time. And that gives Parliament a much, much limited window in terms of trying to do anything to foil Johnson's Brexit plans.
Right, because if the deadline is October 31st, right, and you decide, like, we're already on a really tight timeline to figure out something to do by that deadline, and he's like, cool, let's just take a break for 5 entire weeks to not do anything.
Timing's really important, too. Parliament's going to be suspended from early September to mid-October, which basically gives you 1 week at the front end and a few weeks at the back end to stop Brexit if you're an opponent in Parliament. And that makes it difficult to have a sustained legislative session that you could use to pass anti-Brexit legislation. That's the idea, right?
Got
it's
it.
Basically like using the calendar to filibuster anti-Brexit stuff and prevent his opponents, and more accurately, Brexit opponents in Parliament from stopping him. And
so that's why they're calling it a coup, right? Because he's like literally trying to like shut down government so he can do whatever he wants and not let like Parliament stop him.
Yeah. It's assuming, or at least using the Queen as an end around for democratic accountability through the legislature, despite being a prime minister, which is like what you're supposed to do when you're a prime minister.
Okay, so how do you stop him from doing this?
So that is an excellent question, Jen, and we are going to answer it after the break.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hey, welcome back. So we have been talking about Brexit, and we're talking about the plan to suspend Parliament, which is, again, totally bizarre. But we're now going to talk about what can be done to oppose it and what this means for the sort of broader immediate future of British politics. Right. So let's start with the opposition, which is led by the Labour Party. Kirby, how do we understand their approach to this? We mentioned earlier that Johnson was worried about something that the opponents were doing. What is that?
The opposition parties, which is led by Labour, and then there's some smaller parties, but as you mentioned earlier, that there's some conservatives as well, who, whatever their stance on Brexit, either supporting or remain, do not want to leave. The majority of members of Parliament do not want to leave without a deal on October 31st. So what they have been chattering about doing is trying to find some way to basically block or prevent that scenario from happening, which would involve, obviously, getting something through Parliament to stop Boris Johnson. And that is sort of their overarching plan. And that's what they have been plotting or trying to plot for the last couple of weeks. And now clearly have a lot less time to pull that off.
It's kind of a confusing situation because it's not the case that everybody on the opposition agrees as to who should be the prime minister. The leader of Labour, Jeremy Corbyn, is super unpopular with basically everybody else, including the Liberal Democrats, who are a really important third party who's gotten increasingly popular. So these people are all trying to negotiate who might be leader if they push to oust Boris Johnson, which is one of the possible proposals. Another one is passing a law that would just be like, you think the UK can leave the EU? Actually, it legally cannot.
Right. Like when they were having those debates, I remember like Parliament was having these all these different votes, right, about Theresa May's Brexit deal. And like, remember, we used to talk about how they couldn't agree on anything except that they all said we don't want a no-deal Brexit, right? So that's like the one thing that all Parliament basically, or a lot of Parliament agrees on, except for some of the hardcore Brexiteers, because it would be very, very bad. So that's where this kind of anti-Boris Johnson kind of push comes in, right?
And it's pushing all of these people who disagree with each other to align, because Johnson is pushing for the most extreme possible option in this situation, the one with the most predictable, devastating consequences, which is naturally pushing opponents in the past to align together to stop this clear catastrophe. Hence why he's so worried, right, Kirby?
Right. I mean, essentially, this one thing, this no deal, is bringing all of these very disparate groups who wouldn't normally get along together. But Boris is hoping that he can outmaneuver him with this particular plan. Now, again, if the parliament can try to push through something to block a no deal or try to get Boris to negotiate an extension, that may require Johnson to have to go along with it. And it seems increasingly clear that he is not eager to do so. So it's basically a showdown between MPs and Boris Johnson's government on sort of who will prevail.
I want to be clear on why this is being described as a coup by a pro-EU member of the Conservative Party, Dominic Grieve, because I found that really striking, right? You don't normally, in a parliamentary system, have a member of the party in power calling a move by their own party's leader a coup, right? This is just not how parliamentary systems are supposed to work. The prime minister is a member of parliament, unlike in the US where the president's a separate branch entirely, which means in theory they are accountable to the will of the majority of the people in parliament. But Johnson is taking the prime minister role and job in a totally different direction, basically asserting like, I have the power and I can do what I want and I'm going to make Brexit happen.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why you're sort of seeing these fractures within parliament on whether if you're a conservative member like Grieve, who is pretty pro-Remain and is definitely opposed to a no-deal Brexit, does he stay with his party and party loyalty, or does he join kind of the enemy and take on, you know, his own prime minister, the leader of his own party?
Is there a way that Boris Johnson could still thwart things even if they managed to, like, get through some sort of legislation? There was a BuzzFeed article that I remember you guys had flagged yesterday that was really interesting, that had some stuff, some ideas that Boris had floated that maybe not be super legal.
Yeah, the article is really interesting. It proposed a number of different things that Johnson is apparently thinking about, according to sources that BuzzFeed has. The ideas are kind of wacky, right? Like one of them is introducing a budget basically to take up a bunch of parliament's time and prevent it from passing the other bills. Another idea, and this is the one that like struck me as giant red flags, everything really scary sort of proposal, is to see whether or not it's legal to just ignore parliament. Like they pass a law
and you just say no.
Or they take a vote of no confidence, which would normally lead to the prime minister's ouster, and just say like, nah, you may not have confidence in me, but I have confidence in me and I'm going to stay prime minister.
And God knows if anyone has confidence in Boris Johnson, it's Boris Johnson.
Yeah, the man who defines the maxim, Lord, give me the confidence of a mediocre white man.
Exactly.
We're joking now, but this is actually kind of scary, right? Because what you're seeing and have seen throughout the whole Brexit debate is a fracture of the British political system. The way that it's typically operated with two leading parties, basically trading off power over the course of a long period of time, has started to break down, and party allegiances are shifting in unpredictable ways, and third parties are getting more popular. And this fracturing, you know, maybe could be healthy, but right now what it's doing is producing an executive that is increasingly acting in an authoritarian fashion, which is really scary in an advanced democracy. Like, Brexit had been a disaster for the UK so far, but at least it had been fairly democratic in the way that it had been operated. And now the stress that it's putting on the British political system is pushing it in towards a much more decisive economic and political crisis point.
Can I ask a really stupid question? Just like, as an American, can the Queen do anything? Like, I mean, he had to go to her and ask her to suspend Parliament, right? Like, what is the Queen's role? Could she have said no? Like, can she step in and do anything? Or is she just straight up just like, I don't want to get involved in your politics. I'm just here to like hang out and have state visits and live in a really fancy house.
Technically, she could have interceded, but that would have been just as explosive as Johnson's request for a 5-week suspension. I'm not a British historian, but I think for at least a century or more, the monarch has pretty much stayed out of politics. And, you know, so Johnson's request was just a formality. And there has been a lot of talk on both sides of the pro-Brexit and anti-Brexit debate that, you know, maybe the Queen will sweep in and save the day. And she has really stayed out of it, as has sort of been the tradition. And I don't think anybody should be looking to Queen Elizabeth to save the day on this one.
A British observer that I saw writing on Twitter said that their system depends really heavily on a lot of informal norms. One of those norms is that the Queen stays out of politics, that Parliament behave according to a certain set of rules. And those rules now are all in question, right? Like, the Queen, in theory, under the British system, could assert a kind of super authority over Parliament in a variety of different ways. Like, it is a constitutional monarchy with emphasis on constitutional, but there are still monarchical elements in the legal and political system. It's not totally a break with the pre-modern British system. And so the norm that the Queen is following is, you know, you let the democracy do democratic things.
But then you have the norms that Boris is starting to question, right?
Right, which also have characterized the way the Parliament works. Norms of toleration and not employing nuclear options and things like that. And now he's starting to break them. People are starting to think about trying to get the Queen to break really core democratic norms about what monarchs should do. And though she's not doing it, you have to wonder how much stress the system can sustain in the run-up to what every serious economist thinks will be a real meltdown on November 1st.
I think it's really interesting because one of the sort of main arguments for those who are eager to leave on October 31st, with or without a deal, is that it is the democratic thing to do, that in June of 2016, the people voted to leave the European Union, and Parliament has frustrated those attempts. And if the UK doesn't follow through, then it is essentially turning its back on democracy. But what Boris Johnson has done is basically taken that argument and sort of said, well, democracy for me, but not for thee, sort of, you know, however the means to the end. And it's sort of raising all of these questions of what is democratic, what is democracy? Is it the referendum? Is it how Parliament operates and those norms? And it's kind of creating this question that's hanging over the UK as it perhaps enters one of the most tumultuous times in its history.
I think omnishambles is the word we're looking for here. Omnishambles.
I want to thank our producer, Bird Pinkerton, who always shepherds these shows through the gate. I want to thank Kirby for joining us. She, as always, helps us really understand what's going on in a country whose politics rival our own in terms of incompetence. And I want to encourage all of you to rate and subscribe and review Worldly wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks a lot, y'all.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple, Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.